Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear directly from you. The number is 844-322-2742, so if you have questions or issues that you'd like to talk about, well, we'd cordially invite you to call right now. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, by the way, the number is the same. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But right now, we're live, and we want to hear from you because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. All month, we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about this new devotional that we've released and are making available to our listeners through a gift to Basic Gospel this month. It's Forgiveness, a 30-day devotional. And our encouragement to you is to take the journey, to dive into this subject of forgiveness for 30 days. Each devotional is very short. But it centers around a single verse. But as you go through, you're just going to see that Jesus' words, "It is finished," are actually true. Yeah. They're actually true for you. Jesus finished the work necessary to forgive your sins and to save you and to give you new life by grace through faith in Him. And we want to put this resource in your hands. It is a valuable resource. In all of our years of being involved in ministry, of working with people one-on-one, working in small groups, working in large groups, working within conferences, when people grab a hold of these three words that Jesus proclaimed from the cross, "It is finished," when they personalize those three words, their life is never the same. Their relationship with the Lord is never the same. Their relationships with other people begin to change and transform. Why? Because this forgiveness opens wide a door for us to experience the fullness of God's grace, to grow in His love, and to be a vessel for passing that life on to others. So this is vitally, vitally important. Peter said in his second letter that those who are not growing, there's a reason for that. They've forgotten that they've been cleansed of their sins. They have forgotten that they have been forgiven, so they are nearsighted and blind. So this is an important issue. This is an important truth to grab hold of, to embrace, to take into that very heart of yours, and let Jesus' words, "It is finished," become your very words. And as I said, it's a journey. So we come into this world restless. Well, what does this journey through this devotional going to do? What is this journey to the cross going to do? Well, you're going to go from a place of restlessness to a place of rest in Jesus Christ. You're going to go from a place of fear and shame and guilt to a place of peace and assurance. You're going to go from a place of lostness and that sort of thing, distant from God, to being close to God. Yeah. Knowing His presence is right there with you. So, folks, take the journey. It will absolutely change your life. And it's through this resource, Forgiveness, a 30-day devotional, we want to put this in your hands so that you can take this journey and see what Jesus really meant when He said, "It is finished."
Wonderful words. Thank you, Bob. And friends, thank you for being with us here at Basic Gospel. And we want to remind you that this particular 30-day devotional, Forgiveness, we're going to send you a copy of it as you make your gift between now and the 30th. It's our way of saying thank you for standing with us here at Basic Gospel. So we want to hear from you. You can make your donation right now at basicgospel.net or by mail, by sending your contribution to 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Of course, that's to Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. When you make that gift, we're going to send you a copy of this 30-day devotional called Forgiveness. It can be your key to freedom from the heavy weight of sin and guilt, and we'll send it to you to say thanks for your gift by the 30th. Well, right now, open lines, 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you here at Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Yes, hi. This is Patty from Phoenix calling. I want to ask, How do you talk to fellow believers not understanding, I guess you would say, that Jesus is fully God and fully man simultaneously? One woman saying that he gave up his deity coming to earth. Well, Philippians 2 wouldn't say that. He didn't cling, I guess you would say, to the, I don't know, the, his glory or something. And then also somewhere in there talking about that Jesus was our example. Okay, great. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Patty, that is a fantastic question. And really, that has been the age-old debate ever since Christ showed up. What do we make of him? Who is he? What kind of being is he? And the Word of God is very clear that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. So he is both fully God and fully man. We see this in John's Gospel. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We see in the letter to the Hebrews that God the Father calls Jesus Christ the Son God. We see in Titus chapter 2, Paul talking about Jesus and saying of him, he is our great God and Savior. Right. So the Word of God is very clear that Jesus is God. But it's also clear that he became flesh and blood, that this Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, as a man, he gave up, and I don't want to say he gave up, he quit being God, because that's not what that means. But in Philippians, he said he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. So it was important for him to become one of us, yes, and to taste death for us and become our Savior in so doing. And that's exactly what he did. So he never ceased being God, but while he was here in human flesh, he lived as a man. He lived in dependence upon his Father in the same way that we're to live in dependence upon him. So that's the example that he set for us. So he's God. He became a man. As a man, he lived in dependence upon his Father. John writes in several places that Jesus said, you know, the things that I say, it's not me saying, it's the Father speaking these words, right, through me.
Right.
The things that I do, the works that I do, it's not me doing it, it's the Father doing it through me. So we see this life of dependence in Jesus Christ. And that's what perfected him to be the Lamb of God who could bear the sins of the world in his body. He was perfected through that suffering, through that walking independence upon his Father and living in perfect love. But that doesn't mean that he was less than God. Paul talks about that throughout his letters, that this Jesus is the exact representation of God the Father, the radiance of the Father. We see that. So he's both fully God and fully man. And here's what I would do, Patty. I mean, you could sit down and try to have a discussion, and you could talk through the issue, and you could try to come up with some good arguments to try to prove your point, and then she would counter those arguments with things that she's heard. Just take her into the Word of God and let the Word of God do its work in her life. Take her to John chapter 1 and just read that entire chapter, paying close attention to verses 1 through 3 and verses 14 through 17. But even then, read the entire chapter. Let her feel the context of that. And she's going to see from that, if she just reads and lets the Word of God let the Word of God speak to her, she's going to come away with that saying, hey, this Jesus is both fully God and fully man.
Yeah.
Now, can we fully comprehend that? No, but we don't want to deny what the Word of God clearly reveals about that. And one of the things about Jesus is that he has, you know, everything has been subjected under him.
Mm-hmm.
It's been given to him. So he's the one that holds the world together. That's what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1. He's the one that holds our lives together. And sometimes life seems to be out of control. Sometimes it feels like it's spinning out of control, yeah. That it's just chaos after chaos after chaos. And we've done a new video, a new YouTube video, and we asked the question, is God in control? So that is now posted on our YouTube channel, and we certainly want to point our listeners to that channel. If you've never subscribed, go ahead and subscribe, and you'll get notifications whenever we upload a new channel. But these are real life questions that we all struggle with. I know during this pandemic, I know during, you know, all the tensions that we're feeling here in America, you know, people are asking this question, sure. Where is God in all of this? Is he in control? Is he just letting this thing spin out of control? He has no way of keeping it together. Well, I think this YouTube video answers loud and clear from the Word of God that God truly is in control and that you and I can trust him regardless of what life throws our way.
Absolutely.
So take advantage of that.
Yeah. And Patty, thank you for reaching out. It was good to hear from you. If you have further questions, don't hesitate to give us a call. Also, Sunday morning, I want to invite you to join Bob Christopher online for Sunday Morning Live. Sunday mornings, 9:30 Central on Facebook and YouTube. You can use the direct links right at the top of their homepage at basicgospel.net, and that's 9:30 Central on Sunday morning. So if you can't get to church, this is a good stopping place for you.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to our phone lines and talk to our friend Mary Jo, living in Louisville, Kentucky. Hi, Mary Jo.
Hello. I'd like to know, this is a repeat question, but I can't remember what I asked the first time. But where does it say that no homosexuals enter the kingdom of God? And with all the divorces and everything, why does God, you know, doesn't approve of homosexuals?
Well, it fits under an umbrella of sexual immorality. I mean, he designed it to be between man and woman within the framework of marriage. Well, sin entered into this world, and so everything that God made is going to get twisted. And that's certainly what has happened, and that's this big umbrella called sexual immorality. But we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So he's saying that the problem in all of those is that they are unrighteous. So when you and I, Mary Jo, come into this world, we come into this world unrighteous. And we do everything in our power to try to make ourselves righteous in the sight of God, but we don't have the ability to do that. We don't have what it takes to make ourselves righteous in the sight of God. So that's our problem, the fact that we are unrighteous. And in other places, Paul says that that's being spiritually dead. We are dead in trespasses and sins. That's what it means to be unrighteous. Well, the unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, unrighteousness and spiritual deadness and unbelief in Jesus, that's our real sin. That's the core of it. That's going to manifest itself in lots of different ways. We see it manifesting itself in various forms of sexual immorality. We see it manifesting itself in the form of idolatry. We worship the creation rather than the creator. We worship things instead of the creator of the things. We see it manifesting itself in stealing and lying and being greedy and all of those things. But the fact remains, the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. But God has made a way for anyone who is unrighteous to be made righteous. and that is by grace through faith. So God has judged all of us to be under sin. He has judged us all to be sinners, but he will justify anyone freely who comes to him by faith. So he's taken care of the sin issue. He condemns sin and sinful man in sending Jesus to die on the cross. So that's been taken care of. So now there is absolutely no barrier that stands between God and man. Any person, regardless of how their unrighteousness is being manifest in their lives, any person can receive the gift of life and the gift of righteousness by grace through faith in Jesus. No one has to clean up their act. No one has to, try to make themselves righteous in the sight of God. No, we just come to him as we are. We receive that free gift, and then he transforms us. He makes us into something new. He gives us his righteousness. He changes our hearts, and he puts his spirit to live inside of us so that we can walk in the newness of life that we now have in Christ Jesus. So it's the unrighteous that will not inherit the kingdom of God. Unrighteousness manifests itself in all kinds of forms, but to anyone, this offer of life and forgiveness is available in Jesus Christ. Does that make sense, Mary Jo?
Yeah, that's a whopper of an answer.
Well, that's what we like to do, give whoppers.
Right.
Listen, but I missed the part where it says, no homosexuals enter the kingdom of God. Where is that? Where I'll find that?
Well, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verses 9, going all the way down to verse 11. And verse 11 is really a hopeful verse, and it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So when Paul went into the city of Corinth, there was all kinds of unrighteousness going on in that city. There was all kinds of sexual immorality. There were adulterers. There were people practicing homosexuality. There were thieves. There were drunkards. There were greedy folks. There were swindlers. There were all kinds of folks in the city of Corinth. But that didn't keep Paul from going into that city, marching into it, and declaring to them the good news about Jesus Christ. And anyone who received Jesus Christ, then this verse 11 became true of them. That was what you once were, but now you have been washed, you have been sanctified, you have been justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's a beautiful answer, and I thank you.
You are welcome, Mary Jo. Yeah. Thanks for your call. We always love hearing from you.
Yes, we do. Well, Bob, we're only 5 days away from June 30th, which, of course, is the end of our fiscal year. And last report a few days ago, we still needed about $130,000 to literally make ends meet. So how's it looking?
Well, we're a little bit less than that, but we certainly need people to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this 5-day period that puts us in a sense of urgency.
Yes.
Let's stand together. Let's get this need met so that we can continue to broadcast on every single station that we're currently on, and maybe have the opportunity to look at new stations, mm-hmm. new ways to expand this particular outreach. We want to be growing. We don't want to be shrinking back. So let's get together. Let's look at this with a sense of urgency, with a sense of, well, hey, we need to get it done today.
Yeah.
And let's be as generous as we can in investing in the power of the gospel. I mean, this is not a time for any Christian ministry to shrink back. I know there are many that are having to lay off staff. I know many ministries are having to cut back on their outreach. But this isn't a time for that to happen. Why? Because the hearts of people are ripe.
Yes.
They are ready. Mm-hmm. They are looking for answers. They want answers. They are looking for hope. They are looking for something new, something different than what the world is offering. So let's all make this a matter of urgency, and let's let's meet this need and meet it in abundance.
Absolutely. We'll be giving the address and also the website where you can make your contributions as we close the program in just a few minutes. So stand by for that. And, Bob, do we have a call on the air, or do we want to go to a different direction?
Well,
here?
let's talk with Doug listening to us in Kansas. Hey, Doug.
Hello, how are you guys doing?
We're doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Great. I just wanted to congratulate you guys for the 36 years of being on the air and spreading the good news of Jesus. And so, congratulations for being out there and being consistent every day with a consistent message of how much Jesus loves us.
Well, thank you, Doug. That means so much coming from you. And I know you've been a part of this ministry, a part of Basic Gospel Nation for a long, long time. And we just thank you for your involvement with us, your friendship in the Lord, and just knowing that we are partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is just so wonderful to know.
Well, it's exciting. I think it was about 30 years ago that when we first met, when I met both of you, Bobs, at a conference, and it's just exciting to continue the friendship as well as the love that we share with of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank you for that. And I can't encourage enough the folks that are out there to join in contributing and furthering the ministry and keeping spreading the word of this love and grace we have in Jesus Christ. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Doug, and tell Sharon hello, and hopefully we'll get to see each other face-to-face here real soon.
Yeah, thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling, my friend. And I hope many people will take Doug's advice and mm-hmm. encouragement and join with us. Join Basic Gospel Nation by making a financial contribution to help keep the power of the gospel going out, connecting the hearts of people to the love of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. Well, you want to
we have a YouTube
question
that we want to answer from Javier. Is anxiety a spiritual attack? And I think this is a great question to discuss. And anxiety, what is anxiety? Well, anxiety really is an emotion that relates to the future. It's fear of the future. And it really gets down to that issue of control. We feel like we are out of control and we're not sure how God intends to work out a situation. So we just feel like we're totally out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it's a spiritual attack in the sense that it brings fear back into the equation.
Yeah.
We're fearful of what may happen to us in the future. And I think that's where this video that we did today, that we released today on Is God in Control, can be a valuable help to you, Javier. And I would encourage you to go to our YouTube channel and watch through that. And when you come to that place realizing that God is in control of your circumstances, that God is holding your life together, that you don't have to fear the future, and that you can just simply enjoy here and now.
Absolutely. Well, friends, thanks for being with us today, and I want to remind everybody we need to rally. Step up with a generous donation to help us over the finish line for our fiscal year on the 30th. We've still got a way to go by Tuesday, but with your help, we will make it happen. So please make your gift online at basicgospel.net, or if you prefer to mail your gift, you can use the address, the street address, 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. And when you make that gift, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of our new devotional called Forgiveness. Take the journey to freedom from sin, guilt, and fear through this 30-day devotional. So please join us by making your gift today if you can. Well, we're just about out of time, so for now, for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow as we continue in that very insightful study through the book of Titus. I've enjoyed it, and those of you who have been tuning in, I know you have too. So we'll see you tomorrow for that, and have a good evening. Bye-bye.